to one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run and jump.
My patience begins.
I'm here to meet your fate.
He's right.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Excuse me. Welcome. As the intro says, this is the What Are You Reading comic book show. You know who I am. If you don't, well, I'm not telling you this week. And we're going to be on for however long it takes to get through this show and talk comic books. I'm ill-prepared this week. I've had a long weekend and didn't really have a chance to go over stuff, so it would help me a lot if I got people calling in on Skype at SilverSurfer_forever and just having a chat with me. Those are the best shows, because this is what this show is all about, to call in and talk comic books, you know, talk about what you read, what you want to read, so on, storylines you like, books you're reading, you know. Who's better, Marvel, DC? Doesn't matter to me, as long as I get to talk to you. If not, I'll go over some of the news I have for the week. And this other show's here. Hey, I'm Rant EM Radio. You can listen to today. There is a pay-per-view, a WWE pay-per-view for TLC, Table, Ladders, and Chairs. And that's going to be live here at 7 p.m., so, you know, even after this show goes off, make sure you come back and listen to the pre-show. Yeah, let's see what's the not much to talk about as far as box office this week. Blade Runner is down to fourth place and $7.1 million to its $74 million domestic total with a budget of $150 million. It would look like it's not doing well, but that wouldn't be the case because the movie's doing pretty good overseas. That page a turn on me real quick so I can tell you the numbers on that. It's not responding. This is my luck for you. Anyway, it's getting its money from overseas, so it's not a failure as far as Blade Runner is concerned. And then the other movie is Kingsman. It's dropped down to 10th place. It's added another $3 million to its $94 million gross. It was a $104 million movie. And, of course, it made money overseas, too. So, you will be getting another Kingsman. And everything else has just been dropping slowly but surely. Because they're almost done their box office run. So, speaking of comic book movies, I picked up Spider-Man this week. Came with a extra disc and a comic book inside. And I'm never going to read the comic book because it's too small. But I see what the problem is. My browser's not working like always, so I have to restart my browser. And if you're listening live in the chat room at rantyandradio.com, I appreciate it. Of course, you can also be listening live on TuneIn and Stitcher. And you can listen on the download with Podbean and iTunes. And so, let's get this browser back. First, let's open up the chat room. I hope your football team's doing good today, because mine is playing tonight. And it leaves me in a pickle, because there's all these things I need to watch at the same time. Don't have enough TV. Oh, Return of the Walking Dead tonight. Here live, 9 p.m. on AMC. Are you excited? It's the all-out war. It's going to start between Rick and his crew and Negan and his crew. And the question is, who's going to survive the season and who's going to die? Are you going to be disappointed if people don't die up front this first episode? I mean, are you that bloodthirsty? You want to see people mowed down? I know you want to see them get into the action at least. I mean, even I would be disappointed if all this episode was just people standing around talking about fighting. Now, I don't need I don't need every episode to be a case where it's just gunfire and gunfire and gunfire. I mean, you can have some episodes where, you know, they slow things down, people discuss what's going on, plot and strategize how they're going to attack, but at least this first episode, let's get into the action. You know, they've been off the air all summer long, so now it's time to see them actually fight it out on the roads and in the different towns and so on, you know, who gets captured, who gets tortured. And then, of course, don't forget, it's a zombie show, so you gotta throw in some zombie hordes. You know, it'd be nice if while they're battling it out on the road somewhere, a zombie horde shows up and tries to take out both sides. But one side used the zombies to their advantage to, you know, hurt the other side. And then, of course, it's to see what Rick does. So, like I said, we'll see. I don't know how closely they're going to follow the comic book. I don't know if they're going to have this take all season to resolve or half a season. I'm assuming it's going to be all season. You know, if they only fight for half a season, I think people would be very disappointed. But... And, you know, I have my untouchables as to who can't die on the show. We know Rick ain't dying, because without Rick, there's no show. And we can't have Michonne die. I like Daryl. And I like Carol. Don't think Maggie's going anywhere, so. I think those are all the untouchables. I think Morgan, I think his time is up this season. You know, because Morgan, you know, since he caught up with the group, he was like, oh, I can't hurt nobody. I can't hurt people. I'm zen-like. I'm peaceful. I'm Kane. He, you know, he was walking the earth like Kane from Kung Fu. Didn't want to hurt nobody. Then finally he did because of Carol. And now, you know, he knows he's at war. And I think he still has that conflict of whether or not he should hurt somebody or not. But I think he also realizes that in dealing with Negan and his group, there's no turning them, you know, they're not going to convince them to a peaceful way. But I think because he is starting to, you know, go down the route of having to kick some ass, that he's going to go, which that's one of the things I hate about the show, is just when a person comes around to doing what they need to do, that's when they get killed off. And if another black person shows up, you know Morgan is gone, because You know, they have the quote, you can't have too many black people on the show. When a new black man shows up, the older black guy dies. And it's the truth. Anyway, so what news are we starting at? Did the Cure last week. I think I did the Last Jedi last week. Let me check the date on that. October 12th. I think I did the story last week that, you know, the Jedi trailer was viewed over 120 million times in 24 hours. Yeah, I did that. So, let's see. And the New Mutants trailer dropped last week, which of course is a horror movie. Dr. Phoenix's rap, yep, did that last week. So, you know what made me mad? That Black Panther dropped last week after my show was over in the middle of the night. But yeah, it's hitting hard. I bought my ticket as soon as it went on sale for Star Wars, and I feel I have to do the same for Black Panther. So whenever that ticket goes on sale, I will be definitely buying me a first show IMAX of it. And I think a lot of people need to do that. They really listen. I'm black. Hate to surprise y'all, but that's who I am. And I'm going to support this movie for its importance. Now, if the movie's not good, so be it. But at least I'm going to do my part to make sure it's successful financially. I think that's very important that we do that. So, now, oh, okay, here comes the news. Now, you know, we have the Arrowverse here on the CW, or my old co-host used to say, the DCW, which they probably should become that since they got a lot of DC shows on there. Anyway, so they're doing what they call the Arrowverse crossover, where all the shows like Supergirl, and Flash, and Legends of Tomorrow, and Arrow, you know, they do their week-long crossover, because that's what everybody wants to see. And a photo was leaked revealing the Nazi Supergirl doing this crossover. And, of course, she goes by the name of Overgirl. It says here, a new photo leaked from the set of CW Arrowverse crossover, Crisis on Earth-X. Earth-X, that's a Marvel title. Offers the first look at the world's version of Supergirl, the Nazi supervillain Overgirl. It says the setting of the CW upcoming animated series Freedom Fighters. Oh, is this, wait. See, I'm confused now. Is this going to be live, or is this going to be animated, or are they going to do both? I think maybe they're doing both. Now, I don't know who's playing Supergirl, whether it's the same girl who does the Nazi Supergirl, whether it's the same girl who does the regular Supergirl. Would make a little sense, since they are the same person, just from different realities and so on. Well, when we get to that, it'll be interesting. Oh, and of course, Star Wars, you know, they had to do another big reveal, because they're doing movies every year since Disney owns it now, and they need to get their money back, and they've just about got their money back with the last two movies they put out. And this one coming out around Christmas time should put them in a point where they've gotten all of their money, and now they're making a profit. Well, you know, next year's movie, which was going to be the Han Solo movie, got its title. I know y'all need to sit down for this, because it's going to blow y'all away. They came up with the best title they could come up with, and it was revealed the Han Solo movie is named Solo. Solo. A Star Wars movie. I mean, they really just made a big deal with nothing. For the obvious name, they was going to call it Solo or Han Solo. It's about Han Solo. They didn't do anything spectacular. And, you know, they had Ron Howard on there with a picture holding up a logo that says Solo, a Star Wars story. I think he was embarrassed to do that, to be honest. Unbelievable. Star Wars. You make a lot of hype over nothing. Nothing. Excuse me. Let me check the chat room. Stanley. Good to see you. He asked me, did I watch Thor Ragnarok? No, not yet. And he says Blade Runner 2047 was so shit. I disagree, Stanley. I finally saw it this week. I enjoyed it. It's not like it's my, you know, top 10 movies, but I liked it. So I know you like lowbrow stuff, and that's okay. You know, we're still cool. Don't worry about it. Anyway, Stanley Kubert, everyone. Longtime friend and supporter of this show, but the only one left, to be honest. Let's see. A little thing came out this week about Daredevil. What is it? Where Daredevil eulogizes Matt Murdock in a season 3 teaser. Now, who knows? They might be doing the Born Again storyline. They might be doing the storyline where Matt Murdock is outed as a Daredevil and he, you know, goes through a downward spiral. And his life is ruined. Oh, here we go. You know, my ad block gets on my nerves. I gotta turn it off for a second. There you go. Okay, so there's a little video on here on CBR.com. It says, in love and memory of Matthew Murdock, like a muddled spring or a polluted fountain, is the righteous man who gives away before the wicked. It gives the Proverbs it comes from. It's a little video on here. And, doesn't have no sound, I don't think, but it says here on the article, it says, Marvel's Defenders ended with the hand defeated, but at a great cost. As Misty Knight seriously injured and Matt Murdock seemingly dead, buried beneath tons of rubble. Although the friends, both old and new, were left to mourn his passing, the final moments of the Netflix miniseries revealed Daredevil to be alive in a scene straight out of the seminal Marvel Comics storyline, Born Again. Daredevil Twitter account gave a sly nod to the inside knowledge with the animated teaser for season 3 showing a prayer card for Matt Murdock's funeral that converts to Braille. The image is also accompanied by a text that reads, I'm fine, hashtag defend. So, you really think, if you watched the Defenders show, and you thought that they were going to end Daredevil, you had been out of your mind. Let's see what's going on here. Who out there is a lone wolf and cub, fan? Well, Seven's Andrew Kevin Walker to script Lone Wolf and Cub movie. Says the Hollywood Reporter brings the word that Paramount Pictures has landed long in development and long running Japanese manga Lone Wolf and Cub. Sorry. With studios having now enlist Seven Scribe Andrew Kevin Walker to pen the script. Justin Lin has been attached to the project since 2012 and is set to produce the film while also eyeing directing the adaptation. It says it described as an epic samurai adventure, Lone Wolf and Cub was first published in 1970 from Kenzo Kaoki, sorry about the name pronunciation, and Gosuke Kojimaya. The series ran for 6 years with 28 volumes of the content and over 7,000 pages. The series follows Ito Ogami, the shogun executioner who finds himself on an unyielding quest for revenge after his family is murdered, leaving only his infant son alive. The series follows the adventure as the father and son team as the young Daragogo grows up to become a pair of assassins. Lone Wolf Cub was previously adapted into a 6-feature film series. Oh, I can't get the Japanese name. Tomo Saburaro Wakanyama as Little Ogami in the early to mid-70s. Various other TV adaptations of the TV series have been created over the years, as well as including a series running from 1973 to 1976 and one in 2002 to 2004. Now, I saw a movie when I was a little kid, and I don't know if it was Lone Wolf and Cub, but it was about a samurai and him having a little kid with him going around killing people and stuff. And I remember at the end of the movie, the samurai died, and the little kid is standing over the body, screaming, crying. And that might have been one of the movies. I don't know for sure. I can't remember. I never knew what the name was, and, you know, I was a little kid, so it wasn't like I remember the name of the movie. I just do remember seeing a movie like that. It probably was a Lone Wolf and Cub movie. Of course, back then, when martial art movies, you come over, you know, they would change the name from his Japanese title and give it some new name. Even Bruce Lee movies would change from their original titles. And you never knew. Now, here's something I'm a bit excited about. Excuse me, let me clear my throat. Sorry. Big Hero 6, the series to launch with a TV movie November 20th. Says Disney XD has announced that the upcoming Big Hero 6, the series, will launch this November with Baymax Returns, a 1-hour premier television movie that will air at 8 p.m. on Disney XD and the Disney Channel. The series premiere for Big Hero 6 won't be until early 2018, but following the debut of the original original movie, two full-length preview episodes will be available on Disney Now app and Disney XD Video On Demand. The series picks up immediately following the events of the Walt Disney Animated Studio Academy Award-winning film and continues the adventure of friendship, a hero, and his 14-year-old The 14-year-old orphaned tech genius and Baymax, his very special plus-size inflatable healthcare companion. As the new kid at San Francisco Institute of Technology, Hero faces daunting academic challenges at the prestigious nerd school and the social trials of being a little man on campus. Luckily, Hero has his brains, his ingenuity, and his best friend bought to help him find his way, but it's also off campus where things get dangerous along with Neat Freak Wasabi, Buddy, Mad Scientist Honey Lemon, and Fanboy Fred, and No Nonsense Go-Go, the friends form an unlikely but awesome superhero team, Big Hero 6. Together they face the madness and mayhem as a colorful array of scientists enhance supervillains threaten San Francisco, made up place of San Francisco and Tokyo. And of course, Big Hero 6 was inspired from a Marvel Comics miniseries, and the series will return Maya Rudolph as Aunt Cass, Jamie Chung as the No Nonsense Speed Genius Go-Go, and now she's in two comic book shows because she's also on The Gifted. Scott Adams as the Huggable Baymax. Shit, they're just bringing back all the people from the movie, so what's the big deal? And joining Big Six Hero will be Kylie Patton. So I guess he'll be doing Wasabi instead of Damian Wayans Jr. and Brooks Wheelan, who's going to play Fred instead of TJ Miller, because they're too big of stars to do a TV show. But I'm looking forward to it. Big Hero 6 is one of my favorite movies of a couple years ago, and I think the TV show should live up to it. Anyway, I thought I was going to get some calls on Skype, but I know somebody sent me a message. But if they don't call before I end the show, that's just too bad. Trying to get caught up watching football. Don't you think I want to watch football too? Now, Mighty Thor 700 came out this week, and it went back to its Marvel Legacy numbering. So this is issue 700. And I tell you, Thor's just been my favorite book for the last 3-4 years now. And if anybody weren't reading it because they made Thor into a female, well, that's your foolishness. You just missed out on the best writing Marvel's been putting out consistently for the last few years. And the sad part is y'all gonna get your wish, because the female Thor, who's played by Jane Foster, she's dying of cancer, and turning into Thor makes things worse on her cancer when she turns back to Jane Foster. And now she's about to face her biggest challenge as Thor, but all the Asgardians going to face this challenge because Magog is coming. And he's supposed to be the biggest threat they've ever faced. And of course, the 9 realms or 10 realms now that, you know, this heaven is, you know, they're about to go to an all out war. And it's going to drag Midgard, which is Earth, into it also. But it looks like the storyline is the death of the mighty Thor. So it looks like Jane Foster will be giving up the ghost by the end of this series, and the older son will probably get his hammer back. So, all you people complaining about diversity in Marvel and is ruining it, well, you're going to get your Thor you want back, and you will have been less for missing out on a great story run by Jason Aaron. Anyway, so it got high marks on IGN. In fact, what was the final their high score? Now, you know, IGN rates books every week, but you know, you don't have to. It's not the last word on whether or not a book is good or not. But they did give this high marks. Okay. Go Mighty Thor 700 review. They gave it a 9.4. They said it was amazing. Mighty Thor 700 is an oversized epic worth such momentous occasion. Now, the book was $5.99, but they gave you a lot for the $5.99. It was an oversized book. Now, I was afraid what they was going to do is put, like, you know, an average storyline in there, and then, like, the rest of the book would just be reprints of stuff I've already read over the years, and could care less about spending $2 or $3 more dollars for the book. But no, what Jason Aaron does, he catches you up on everything he's been writing since he's taken over on Thor. You know, the current Odin son, the younger Thor, before he was able to pick up his hammer, the older King Thor, and what's going on with him in the future with his granddaughters, and, you know, the consequences of his actions, like he fought Galactus in the future, and he did something to Galactus to make Galactus worse, and now Galactus is making the rest of the universe worse. The War Thor, which, you know, there's another Thor running around. He has this hammer from the alternate universe, and whoever picks it up, it makes them bloodthirsty for war, because it's a hammer that doesn't belong in that particular universe. And of course, you have the Jane Foster Thor, and everything that's going on in that in her storyline with the, you know, the wars, Malekith, the Accuser, and so, you know, gives you all these little short stories that sets up everything. And then you even get now one of the things that, you know, throughout the comic books throughout the years is the Hulk and Thor fighting each other. You know, that's always been a classic battle, such as, you know, because who's stronger, Hulk or Thor? So on, they've gone back and forth as to who wins their battles from time to time. And even with the upcoming movie, you're going to have Hulk and Thor fighting each other. Well, in this issue, we got Jane Foster Thor fighting the She-Hulk, who's now walking around, like, you know, the thing about the She-Hulk, she was always in control, but now she's kind of more like her cousin. She's more of a raging hawk ever since she got injured and Bruce Banner was killed. And so they fought. And it would have been kind of wrong had they went through Jane Foster being Thor and those two hadn't fought at least once. And that's some of the things that Jason Aaron has done. Like, he's had the female Thor fight the female Loki at one time, which he did that early on in her storyline, and it would make sense that the female Hulk and the female Thor fight each other. So, anyway, let's see. I suggest you run out and get the book, because it's good, and it's going to be an epic finish to the Jane Foster run, most likely. Because, she'll probably die from the cancer. A new Punisher trailer came out this week. And that's going to debut next month. In fact, it's going to debut on Netflix the same day as Justice League. Marvel know what the fuck they doing. They fucking with DC. They wrong. They know they wrong. They bullies. Let's see. Here's a story that kind of hurts to report on, not because I'm biased or wanting, it's just that, you know, it's because people are dogpiling at this point on this show. It says Inhumans dropped to a ratings low for Marvel TV series. It says Marvel's Inhumans seems destined for failure from the moment its IMAX two-part premiere tanked, with negative reviews continuing to hammer the show as soon as it began its 8-episode run on ABC. It would appear that there's no hope in sight for the show's rating after the show rate hit a series low on Friday nights with its 5th episode. Something Inhuman This Way Comes. The property, which surprisingly got demoted from the big screen to being announced as a part of the Marvel Studios Phase 3 barely managed a 0.4 from the adults 18 to 49 rating, with a total viewership of 2 million, as reported by Deadline. This is a drop of -0.2, the biggest demo drop on a Friday, tied with Once Upon a Time, which also dropped that much, compounded a miserable start to the weekend for ABC, while CBS, Fox, and the CW all continue to perform steadily in the ratings report. It seems interesting. Interest hasn't picked up for the Marvel Cinematic Universe take on the royal family as they try to survive on Earth. Well, I do have to say now, after, four or five episodes, you're not really getting Inhumans doing Inhuman things. Like Medusa's hair's cut, which I kind of get as far as the storyline because they did that in the comic book. But it doesn't look like her hair's starting to grow back at all. What makes Gorgon special is not working because he hit his head, so he got a little brain damage, I guess. And Gorgon, you know, you don't see him do much. When he does do much, he does, like, stomp his feet, you know, and cause the earth to, you know, shake and everything. It just, like, happens, like, once every three episodes. You haven't seen Crystal do much with her powers. And then Black Bolt, well, they forgot that he has the ability to fly and has superhuman strength. And all he is just walking around not talking because he can't talk. Because he would destroy everything. And you really don't see him use his voice for anything either. So, I don't know what they was thinking, you know, trying to save money. They should have put some money into making these people have their powers work. Then maybe the show would be more interesting. Sorry, I had to take a drink. Anybody calling in, so I'm gonna be ending the show soon. And let's see, what else is there? Oh, so, you know, Justice League movie's coming out, and it was thought that the main villain Steppenwolf was the nephew of Darkseid. Well, it turns out that's not the case. In fact, it's the other way around. Steppenwolf is the uncle of Darkseid, like in the comics, so they're not changing anything with that. And, you know, there's been, speaking of Justice League, there's been talk that the Justice League movie was going to be 2 hours and 50 minutes of a runtime. And that would kind of be in line with a DC movie because they do make long movies. And Zack Snyder in particular, of course, we don't know how much of the movie's been changed since Joss Whedon has filled in for Zack Snyder because of his personal issues and with the reshoots and everything. But it looks like the Justice League movie will only be a whopping 2 hours and 1 minute, making this the shortest DC movie since they started their cinematic universe. Excuse me. Man of Steel was 143 minutes. Batman vs. Superman was 151 minutes. Suicide Squad was 123 minutes. And Wonder Woman was 141 minutes long. So, yeah, this is the shortest film, which is encouraging, to be honest. Because a lot of times those movies, you look at them and you're like, yeah, they could have cut off 20 minutes here or there somewhere. And except for Batman and Superman, it's like everything they cut out made the movie worse. Because you watch the 3-hour cut of the movie, and it makes the movie makes a lot of sense. Not that it makes the movie a better movie, but at least it makes more sense. And the extended version to Suicide Squad, that didn't make a difference. It was just more scenes with the Joker and Harley Quinn. But they wanted the feature of the film, so that didn't make a difference either. It's just there. So, you know, Jared Leto was upset that they cut scenes with the Joker and so on. But they added the Joker just because they thought they needed to, and it had nothing to do with the overall story as to what the whole Suicide Squad was doing and who they was going up against. It's just, oh, we got the Joker. Everybody loved the Joker and Harley Quinn, so let's just throw them in there. And that's the way that plays out. But I got my fingers crossed that I'm going to like Justice League, and that everybody else is going to like Justice League. It's going to be a good movie. And speaking of DC Universe films, it's a wrap for Aquaman. It says Aquaman filming has wrapped. So, it says filming has wrapped, starring Jason Momoa and Amber Heard, took to their Instagram accounts to announce that they have finished filming the movie, scheduled to hit theaters December 21st, 2018. That is a bad date to release that movie. Because that's going to be the same weekend as Solo, a Star Wars movie. At least I think it is, because it seemed like the week before Christmas is when these Star Wars movies are getting released. And I'm not sure yet. You know, maybe they might, you know, release Solo in the summertime or something. But if they are releasing the Star Wars around Christmas time like they have done the other three movies, then I don't see how they expect Aquaman to make any money. They need to probably change the date for that. Move it to another time. Or move it to one of those areas where usually movies don't do well, and that will do well because that'll be the option as to seeing the other crap that comes out that time of year, like September, maybe. So, we'll see. You know, it wouldn't be the first time DC moved their movie, because they tried to, you know, stare Marvel down and was going to put out Batman v Superman the same weekend as the Captain America Civil War. And then they came to their senses and said, no, we're going to move ours up. We're not going to come out in the same weekend. Because that would have been a major disaster for DC had they put those movies out in the same weekend like the original plan was. And, you know, don't plan movies around that first weekend in May, because that belongs to Marvel at this point. And unless you want to get crushed, don't do it. Anyway, well, it looks like no one's calling in, and I'm not going to sit around talking to myself. So, let me tell you about the other shows here on Rant Yarn Radio. There is going to be a pre and post show tonight at 7 and probably 9 p.m. for the WWE Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. So you want to come back at 7 p.m. to listen to that. And then tomorrow night, you know, you want to catch it with the football and the basketball and the baseball with the Sports Report live at 11:15. Tuesday is a doubleheader of wrestling. First, you have the Shining Wizards live at 7 p.m. And then the Rant Live at 9 p.m. Thursdays is Rant and Wrestling at 9 p.m. And then Fridays, you get a live episode of Turnbuckle Throwbacks at 9 p.m. A lot of shows at 9 p.m. And, well, I'll be back on the air next week. Let me check. I'll be back next Sunday for the What You Reading Comic Book Show. But I won't be on the air on the 5th, so Next week I'll be back. 2 weeks from now, I won't be on the air. So, that's it. I've spent enough time making a fool of myself, and I'm going to go. But I'm so glad we had this time together just to have a laugh and sing a song. That's from Carol Burnett, people. One of the greatest female comedians of all time. Grew up watching her TV show. You should look it up. All right. And for me and Stanley in the chat room, did he say anything in the chat room since earlier? No. I'm the man they call Surfer. I'll talk to y'all next week. I'm out. Peace.